This is Sex Science Saturday here on the Jeff Booth Show, brought to you by the Center for Sexual Expression and Education and Erotic University. There are a number of sex science issues that you may think are still open questions, but fairly recent research has provided fairly definitive answers to many of these questions. One of the hot button issues, at least amongst a particular crowd of people, is the issue with circumcision for men. Does that affect sexual performance? And many of the anti-male circumcision people are very adamant. They say, absolutely, yes, it's just like female circumcision. It destroys a man's sexual abilities. There have been studies in the past that show, no, this isn't true. And the latest study in the Journal of Urology kind of puts this to rest. And not because of the sample size, it was only 62 people between 18 and 37, but because this is just another in a long series of studies that are all finding the same thing. So basically, the bottom line is they found that everyone's sexual responses, regardless of whether or not they were circumcised, were pretty much about the same. It's not better or worse with the circumcision. They also found that there was no difference in penis sensitivity between men who were circumcised and those who were not. And this was not just a questionnaire study, although they did do a questionnaire. It actually involved actual sensitivity studies where they stimulated nerve fibers related to sexual pleasure. You know, real science. They also found that the idea that the foreskin is the most sensitive area of the penis is nonsense. They found that the foreskin has about the same sensitivity as the forearm. So while the anti-circumcision crowd may be very emotionally invested in all of this, and that's fine, what they don't have is the science on their side. Here's another issue that has been up for a lot of debate, and that is whether there is any difference between children, those who are raised in same-sex families and those who are raised in opposite-sex families. And actually, despite some extraordinarily faulty studies that have been thoroughly and completely debunked and were done by people with an anti-gay agenda, there's been study after study after study that shows that children raised in same-sex families do just as well. What's important is the stability of the family life. But all things being equal, there really is no difference. This latest study is published this month in the Journal of Developmental and Behavioral Pediatrics, and it looked specifically at intact families. Some of the debunked studies, like those done by Mark Regneris, have looked at families that had been broken up or had other problems, and then compared them with heterosexual families who were doing okay. So it dramatically skewed the data, amongst a whole lot of other ways they skewed the data. So the bottom line is that there is no peer-reviewed, scientifically accepted study that finds that having gay parents is a negative at all. At this point, I think it's pretty definitive. We can call this one. Here's another subject that a lot of people have debated. Just how long does sex last on average? Well, that really depends a lot on how you do the research. The studies that have been done tend to really look at how long sex lasts from the moment of vaginal penetration of the penis. But we all know that sex starts a long time before that. Unless you're one of the people who thinks that foreplay or oral sex is not sex. So when we talk about this, what we're really talking about is how long penetration, coitus, lasts. There is a name for this. It's called IELT, which stands for intravaginal ejaculation latency time. And probably the best study of that took place in 2005. It incorporated 500 couples from 5 countries, and they all timed themselves with a stopwatch. And here's the median number, 5.4 minutes across all the age ranges. And here's where some complexity comes in. For example, the countries that were involved were Spain, Turkey, the United States, the United Kingdom, and the Netherlands. But Turkey skewed the numbers a lot because men in Turkey are the quickest on the trigger. If you took out the data from Turkey, it goes up by about a minute or more for the average. Our very first topic here was about circumcised and non-circumcised men, but here's some interesting data. When you look at, after taking out Turkey, because they're a problem, and you look at the median values, you get 6.7 minutes in circumcised men, compared with 6 minutes in non-circumcised men. But remember, we're looking at a median. Does this mean that circumcised men last a little longer? Well, in this data, yeah, but we can't really fully come to that conclusion. But one interesting conclusion is that whether condoms were used or were not used did not seem to impact the amount of time that it took to go from penetration to ejaculation. But even looking at a median value in these studies is only moderately useful. The big variable really is age. When you're looking at people 18 to 30 years, they're going to be at 6.5 minutes, even with the turkey data. And over 51, you're dropping to 4.3 minutes for a median. So when you ask the question, what's the average amount of time, you need to look at age as one of the most significant factors. And really the bottom line, and this is relatively meaningless, because sex isn't just about penile thrusting in a vagina. There's a whole lot of other stuff that goes on. And yes, you should be spending more than 5 or 6 minutes doing that. But that involves a lot of things. And those are the kind of things that help us emotionally bond to each other. So sex and its duration is a much more complicated question than just how long someone puts their penis in someone else's vagina. Here's another question that a lot of people debate. Can men and women be just friends? Well, a study published in the Journal of Social and Personal Relationship found that the bonds between men and women are changing. It is becoming easier now for men and women to be just friends. The participants in the study who reported no physical or sexual attraction to their friends were in significantly longer friendships compared to those who felt an attraction. There are some caveats, though. There was a 2012 study that found that in the majority of opposite-sex friendships, there is at least a low level of attraction from the man, much less so than for women. And the men almost always overestimated how attracted their platonic female friends were to them. And that amount of cross-attraction seemed to determine how successful the relationship was. The less attraction, the better the friendship, and the longer it tended to last. So yes, men and women can be just friends, even if low levels of attraction are involved. But the less the sexual attraction is, the longer the friendship will probably last. I think what's still understudied to this point is relationships that are just friendships, but they also involve sex, but they don't involve any long-term commitment. There's still a lot more research to be done there, and that sort of thing is happening more and more often. People who have sexual relationships with friends that aren't romantic, and that's something we still need to understand better.